We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, along with head coach Justin Wilcox. Welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Busy week on the calendar. Obviously, we got football coming up Saturday, 4 o'clock. We'll be on the air with the Bud Light tailgate show beginning at 3 o'clock, the Bears against the Oregon Ducks. We've got basketball on Thursday, 7 o'clock tip. We got basketball on Sunday as well, so a lot going on this week. Let's start, first of all, with football and head coach Justin Wilcox. As you looked at the tape and watched the game against Stanford, I know you were disappointed in the loss, but you did a lot of good things in that ball game. One of them was running the football. Damian Moore had a huge game for you. You were able to run the ball fairly consistently with consistency. But what was the key to that running attack this past week?
I thought they did a nice job, as you mentioned. We'd like to be more consistent. There was a couple series there where we felt like we probably could have got another first down or so and maybe flipped the field. But as a whole, I thought the guys did a really nice job running the football. Starts with our offensive staff, Bill, and the offensive coaches putting together a really good plan for them. And then the players taking that plan to the field and executing it. The O-line, the tight ends, the receivers, I thought blocked well down the field. I know you probably don't, talk about that as much, but that was had an impact on it. And then the runners made some good plays, and Marcel, and first play of the game was a really nice run, well designed and good blocks. And Marcel made an explosive run there. Damian obviously had a really good day. And then Chris on a limited role was able to come in and give us some good carries in there as well. So all in all, I think it's much improved from the last couple weeks, and we expect to continue to get better.
Damian Moore, true freshman, came in and ran really well, had his first career 100-yard game, 121 yards on just 10 carries, so 12.1 a pop is pretty good, including that 54-yarder. I know he'd like to maybe have stretched that all the way to the end zone, but that'll come probably with some additional speed work as he continues throughout his career. But what was it in recruiting, and what is it now that has impressed you with Damian Moore?
His transition process from high school to college, you never quite know how that's going to go. And he had an injury that he overcame in high school, and so he was limited a fair amount. But the way he ran in high school and some of the real kind of smooth, nifty runs where maybe it always wasn't a 70-yard gain or a 50-yard touchdown, but, you know, he has the ability to see things really well. He's smooth. He gets positive yards. And there was a couple runs, and obviously I know the big 50-plus yarder was the one that jumps out, but there was a couple runs in the game in the third quarter where it didn't look great in terms of the space, and he found his way to 5 yards or 6 yards or 4 yards when there wasn't much there. And I think sometimes those are the ones that are even more impressive than the 50-yarder.
You know, they talk about, you know, certain athletes being instinctive. Now, some of that is through film work, drills, etc. But other guys are just, you know, gifted for whatever reason or the other, whether it's vision or the ability to cut. What does he have?
I think you make a great point, Todd. He is instinctive, and that's sometimes one of the hardest things. It is one of the hardest things to judge in recruiting because you don't maybe see him every day. But I think once he got here and started getting reps with our offense, and not just 7-on-7 or drill work, you got to be an 11-on-11 in a team situation where it's you know, everybody's in, and that's where you see those things come up. And I think he is instinctive. I think he understands pace of the runs. He does a really good job of not making false cuts. You know, he makes his one cut and then he gets vertical. And so that stuff is carried over for him. And it doesn't happen for everybody that way. It just doesn't. So he's done a nice job of that. And he does have good instincts for running the ball.
And do you try to match the talents of the player with the offense that you're running? I mean, some guys are better zone runners. Other guys are better maybe in the power eye. Other guys are better maybe in option offenses. How do you look at that?
I think that's very true. And then once they get here, you kind of find the runs that they're good at. And if that translates from what they did in high school, the nice thing is, especially, you know, with Bill, is that we have some direct runs, you know, ISO lead plays, two back power, pin and pull, where you got gap schemes, we call them. And then we do have zone plays. And as you mentioned, certain guys have a good, you know, will have a good feel for running zone and maybe not quite the same feel on the gap plays. So then you can kind of tailor it to what they do best. Not that you won't run a play with them, but you really lean on their strengths that way. And I think you make some great points, and it's true. Certain guys run certain plays better, and we're always going to try and lean on what they do best.
And obviously you do have to occasionally break some tendencies, because if a guy comes in and all he does is catch a pass, or another guy comes in and all he does is block, then that's kind of a tip off as well. So he's been really impressive. He was impressive in camp when we saw him, and certainly has been impressive so far this year. The ability to make, you know, something out of nothing is a big deal. There's a big difference between a 2 yard loss and a 2 yard gain. It's just 4 yards, but it's huge for the play caller as well. Offensive line, what did you see from the guys this week? Obviously, running the football pretty good. Young guys getting, for a lot of those guys, just their second career opportunities.
Just continue to improve. And that's, you know, acknowledging that and building on that is a really important. Certainly, we all want to find ways to win. That's the ultimate goal. But there were some gains made in that offensive line group. I think they limited the mental errors. It really got cut down from the week before. We still have to continue to get better technically. I still think, you know, the guys are going to continue to get bigger and stronger with working out and lifting weights and growing into their bodies. But they did a nice job, you know, I think improving from 1 week to the next.
Talk about the kicks, one field goal block, one PAT. Was it more protection, more low kicks? What did you see?
Well, ultimately, that unit, it's going to be a combination of all of the above. But we got to do a better job putting those guys in a position to succeed. So we have to coach better and give those guys the tools to play those techniques and make sure that we got the people in the right spots and they got the right coaching points, because the want to is there. We just to not execute the field goal. And then certainly the PAT is just not something we can accept. And so we will continue to work at that, practice it, drill it, make sure we got the right folks in there, and make sure they have the right tools to be successful. So it's unfortunate that it happened twice. We felt like we addressed it and we're going to be able to get that done, to close out the game, and we weren't able to do that.
You know, earlier in the week when you talked with the media, somebody asked you a question about launch angles for kicks. Now in golf, you know, like Jack Nicklaus would say, all of your, tee shots and your shots from the fairway, pretty much the same swing. But of course, then when you get around the green, you have to chip and do some other things. It's a different swing. Do kickers have that same component where the longer the kick, that they change the launch angle to get more power to drive the ball more, and shorter kicks, maybe you don't need that? How do you address that?
Yes. Yeah. That's the ideally. Yes. Ideally, you're able to get the ball up when it needs to get up. And then, if you're kicking a 53 yarder, you're probably going to have to drive it. We're going to have to be really stout at the line of scrimmage, knowing that the angle is going to be a little shallow. That is ideal. I don't know that everybody can do that. You know, that takes practice. It takes skill. And we got to continue to help our players and put them in a position to be successful. And, I think throughout the country, in college and pro football, there's a lot of discussion on 7 versus 8 yards, 7.5. Where do you put the ball on a kick? And we look at that every off season. We look at it during the season. You try to rely on your strengths. And those are conversations we're always having based on, the guys that we have at the given position. So we got to do a better job ultimately, and it falls on me and us as coaches to make sure we're helping our players.
You only had 4 scholarship defensive linemen available for this last game. And as it turned out, Ziondé Johnson, Brett Johnson, J.H. Tevis were in there for, I think it was every snap. Tevis got the first 2 sacks of his career. Brett Johnson, he's a load. I don't care if you play him at the nose or you play him at defensive tackle. If you played him at linebacker or at safety, he's probably going to make some plays for you. He had a sack in. I mean, 10 tackles for a defensive lineman who's primarily in this game playing the nose is remarkable. Talk about the play up there.
Yeah. I think J.H., as you mentioned, J.H. Really gets a lot out of himself because he plays so dang hard. He plays with technique, gives unbelievable effort. He's gotten a lot bigger and stronger in the last year or so. So really pleased with, how he's worked himself into being a good player for us. I think he can still get better. And as you mentioned, Brett Johnson is taking another step in his development from a year ago, where he was basically our starting nose as a true freshman. Brett's a very talented person. He's got really great strength. He's big. He's got really good balance. I think a lot of that comes from his wrestling background, but you mentioned to make that many plays from that position, is impressive. And he is a hard guy for people to block one-on-one. He really is, where there's run or pass. And I think Brett, if he continues to work like he has worked and continues to develop, could be a really, really fine player. And I think one of the most impressive plays he made all day was on a screen pass. Mm-hmm. Maybe doesn't show up other than just a tackle, but he turned and chased a guy down, one-handed him. And if he doesn't make that tackle, it's going to be explosive gain. And so you see things like that flash, and you realize the potential for a guy like Brett.
I'm kind of the good news and the bad news with Brett is he's getting to the point now where teams have to double team him. It's tough to single block him. So that's good for your team. Maybe not great for Brett getting double teams all the time, but that's part of what the defensive linemen do, is try to gobble up as many blocks as possible. And he's just doing an absolutely terrific job. All right, let's switch and talk about Oregon coming in. They're 3-1. They started 3-0, and they got upset by Oregon State in Corvallis over the weekend in the Fog Bowl. You and I have seen a few of those up in the Willamette Valley over the years. It was tough to watch. And talking to broadcasters on both sides of that game, they could barely see what was going on down on the field. But we were able to watch it on TV, and both teams played hard, as you would expect in that game. But offensively, Oregon, with a new offensive line and a new quarterback, is still averaging almost 40 points a game. What have you seen from them offensively?
Yeah, I think the talent is evident, you know, whether it's the O-linemen, the skill positions, the backs, quarterback, they got, you know, the tight ends, they got a really talented roster. And they got some, you know, newer players playing for them, but they're physically very, very gifted. And so we know it'll be a great challenge for us. I think the quarterback's doing a good job. He's a big guy. He can make the throws and he runs really well. So he adds an element, you know, the 11th guy you got to defend in the run game. And so they're doing a good job. They got good schemes, as we know, but I think the, you know, they're scoring a lot of points, and I think that points to certainly they have good schemes, but they got some really talented players.
I guess the surprise with Oregon so far is the points they've given up. Last year, I think they were second in the conference to Utah. They only gave up about 16 and a half points a game. This year, they're giving up just a shade under 30 points a game. I know the folks up there are a little surprised as to how their defense has played. What do you see that's different or people are able to do against them so far this year?
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, the statistics are what they are. But I think when we look at it, you kind of see the what they're capable of. And I think they're, again, a very talented group of guys. I mean, their front and their edge players, the linebackers are very talented. They got cover guys. You know, things happen from time to time. I know they probably gave up a couple big ones against Oregon State, like we did. They probably like to have back. It's either a missed tackle or a missed run fit, and all of a sudden it, you know, turns into a 3-yard gain as opposed to a long one. So we know what they're capable of. And I think they got some younger players, newer players playing as well, but certainly got a lot of respect from us on what they're capable of being.
Final question here. Marcel Dancy will be joining us on the podcast after we talk with you. Talk about not only what he's done on the field, but what he has done off the field has been really remarkable as well.
Yeah, he's a special guy, you know, born and raised here, and walked onto our program, earned a scholarship rather quickly. And he, you know, just what he does on the field is great for us. But what he does off the field is just so impressive with, you know, what he's done at the youth level and for the Oakland Dynamites. He's truly got a great heart. We're fortunate to have him. And I think he provides leadership for our team, for our younger players, and sets a great example of how you can impact people outside the program in such a positive way. So really, I just love that guy. And appreciate what he does, not only for our team, but how he represents Cal outside the building, because he's doing a lot of good.
Well, Justin, appreciate your time in a busy week. Good luck in the game on Saturday against Oregon. And we'll talk to you prior to the ball game, get maybe a little more detail about the matchup this week.
Good. Thanks, Todd.
Joining us now is one of the outstanding running backs and a very deep running back room. That's redshirt senior Marcel Dancy from Oakland. Went to West High School out there in Tracy, but he's off to a pretty good start this year, and hoping to continue that against the Oregon Ducks on Saturday afternoon. First of all, just your thoughts about this wild, wacky world that we're in and how you guys are trying to handle all this.
I think, first and foremost, our coaches and our staff have done a great job just leading us and, you know, putting us in the right frame of mind, you know, just to attack this season with everything that's so up and down. Just kind of, like Coach Wilcox says, keeping our knees bent for anything that happens and just staying ready.
Let's go back a couple of years. You were at Laney College, had a nice career there. Cal, obviously, in the back door of Laney. And I remember Coach Wilcox saying when he interviewed, he didn't even have an interview with Burl Toler. Burl had been here as a player, as a GA, and when he asked Burl if he wanted to come on board as a full-time assistant coach, he said the interview lasted about 90 seconds. My understanding is your acceptance of Burl's offer to attend Cal on scholarship took less than 90 seconds.
Yeah. You know, that call, I remember I was walking and Toler called me, and as soon as he told me, that's all I needed to hear. And I was like, I'm coming.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, growing up, obviously, the great Cal tradition with the running backs. You know, you think of the beast mode, Marshawn Lynch being a local product, but you know, J.J. Arrington, Javid Best, Shane Vereen. I mean, how much did you watch Cal football when those guys were tearing it up?
Oh, I always watched them. You know, I always watched, you know, what they did every Saturday, and you know, just kind of the tradition that they left and the mark that they left on the game. So that's definitely something that, you know, we study and we paid attention to for sure.
Well, not quite as big as Marshawn Lynch, more the size of Javid and Shane Vereen. I mean, do you see anything that they have done in the past that you've tried to emulate?
You know, I always take bits and pieces, you know, especially from all running backs that have been really successful, like those two that you just named. And, you know, just, you know, knowing the offense and, you know, their vision and, you know, how they see things and just, you know, doing whatever they can to get to the paint.
Well, those guys have found the paint quite a few times, to say the least. Really good players, all played in the National Football League. And some of those guys having good careers outside of football as well. And that brings us to some of the things that you're doing away from football. I mean, I look at your roommate there, Elijah Hicks, between you and Elijah. Well, first of all, how does a running back room with a defensive back? How does that happen?
Hey, man, this is just how the game goes. It was just a beautiful thing.
I mean, he's not tackling you like in the kitchen or, you know, down a hallway, is he?
Oh, no. We got a cool little alliance as far as when it comes to being in the house.
Okay, that's good. A little different on the practice field, I'm sure. But anyway, yeah. Between the two of you guys, you've been just absolutely remarkable in what you're doing away from the field. I mean, last year you were on the American Football Coaches Association Good Works team. Elijah's, you know, got a good chance to be doing that again this year. You've been involved with youth football. Now you're involved with fundraising to try to raise money for kids that maybe don't have the opportunity to get a good meal all that often. Let's first of all go back to the football component with the youth football team, the Oakland Dynamites. How'd you get involved with that?
Just, you know, people that ran the organization that I've known, and, you know, my family has always been around the Oakland Dynamites organization. It was just, you know, something that just kind of happened, and I ran with it. And ever since, it's been, I think, 5+ years since I've been coaching now. It's just been a great experience, and, you know, just been a blessing to me.
All right. I mean, what do you try to pass along to these peewee football players, okay?
Just, you know, just if you really want something, do everything you can to achieve it. Don't let anybody say or stop you from your goals and your dreams. And, you know, I always was taught the each one teach one mentality, and I try to my best to pass on the information that I give to them at a younger age so that they can avoid some of the obstacles that I may have, you know, ran into or other people that they have.
I mean, where did this desire to do that come from?
Oh, it came from my family. It came from my family, and they all told me that, my moms and pops especially, just kind of instilled that in me. And, you know, I've always been like that.
That's awesome. And then this year, as COVID hit, and one of the things that's happened is that a lot of kids that could not go to school because of the limitations, certainly in the spring, some have returned, some have not. But when they go to school sometimes, that's maybe one of their best meals of the day. And so I remember first looking at this, and you were trying to raise, I think it was $10,000 for the Burkhalter Elementary School. Your goal was $10,000. And then you blew past that to $20,000. I think that was in June I saw that. Why that being the thing that you wanted to do, trying to feed these youngsters?
I was just really thinking about you know, just on a daily basis, like, you know, me and Elijah and, you know, other teammates that we had, we were trying to find ways to practice. And, you know, just all that kind of made me think of, wow, there are still young kids that are at home that aren't in schools that, you know, don't give meals that they regularly would, you know, at a school. So that just kind of made me think of that and, you know, found a way to help them in a small way, but, you know, found a way to help them.
Well, it's a big deal, a really big deal, and you're doing a great job there. Now, did that work with the elementary school then morph into this new cause, the OaklandEdFund.org, where you're trying to raise like $50,000 starting earlier this week?
I wouldn't say it morphed. This is kind of two different things. The Oakland Air Fund has been around for a while now, and they've raised over millions of dollars, you know, for Oakland. So, you know, I'm just really glad that I got to connect with them and we got to, you know, put this project together.
So I guess the website is oaklandedfund.org. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's a great way for people to get involved and help the city of Oakland and the Oakland Department of Education try to raise at least $50,000, because this is a key time for schools and young people all across the country, in addition to just being here in the North Bay. All right. So your first association with Cal, at my understanding, was at a summer camp. And you ran into Jared Goff, right?
Yeah, so it was my sophomore year of high school, and you know, a lot of players came with their teams to the camp. It was a contact camp, and I came by myself, and I got put on a Renegade team. That's for all players that just came by themselves. And luckily, you know, my head coach was Jared Goff, so that you know, that whole experience for those 3 days was something that I'll never forget. And you know, when I see Jared, you know, we can reconnect on that memory. And you know, ever since then, till this day, the coaches, like Coach Toller, was there, and the coaches remember me from that very camp. So it was just crazy how it came full circle.
Yeah, crazy. And you took advantage of the opportunity. Good for you, because opportunity presents itself. You got to be ready to do that. All right, this week you've got an opportunity against an Oregon team that lost last week at Oregon State. You guys suffered a bitter defeat to the hands of Stanford. And the irony of this whole thing is, you know, in theory, this could be the final game at Memorial Stadium, you know, for you and the other seniors. We don't know what's going to happen in that flex week down the road, or even if we're going to play that, or, I mean, have you even thought about coming back maybe next year as well, because everybody has that opportunity, but I mean, it could be the last game.
Yeah. You know, my plans are to come back, to get a full season with the team. And, just as far as, you know, the rest of the seniors on this team that, you know, may be thinking about, you know, declaring after this and all that, it's definitely something that we all know. And, you know, we all want to make this season feel right for everybody, regardless of the circumstances. You know, we all want to go out as a family and go out strong with this season. Whether we get more games after this or not, you know, we want to play every game like it's our last.
Yeah, there was another pretty good running back out of Laney College in recent years, guy by the name of C.J. Anderson, who joined the staff this year. C.J.'s always, he's been one of my favorites, Marcel, because he's got a smile on his face all the time. He came from Vallejo, and he had to work his way up the ladder like you did. And he ended up playing in two Super Bowls, got a Super Bowl ring. What's it been like to reconnect with C.J.?
It's been a blessing, you know, not just for me, but for the entire offense, because, you know, CJ played in this offense under Coach Musgrave. So
with Denver, you know, yeah.
Just, you know, the tips and, you know, just the little key elements of, you know, what to read and what to look for has been, you know, a total advantage for us. And, you know, his football IQ, you can see why he played so long in the league. And, you know, he's just passing that down, you know, to all of us. So it's been great.
Yeah, I can remember him. When he's with the Broncos, and as you mentioned, he was coached by Bill Musgrave offensive. I remember we were over there for a basketball game, and he, you know, he came from Denver up to Boulder and was at the game. And I asked him, you know, would you be willing to come on like at halftime, be a guest? Oh, my goodness. Yes. Heck yeah. Be glad to do it. You know, and that's just the way he is, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Really good guy. Last year, you had two touchdowns in the second half in that big win over Washington. That was exciting to watch you. You had a big game this year against Oregon State with 76 yards. So you've got some memories there, and we hopefully will see you make a few more memories this week against Oregon and the rest of the season as well. Marcel, I appreciate you taking the time. Continued success with all your fundraising as well, and stay healthy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Marcel Dancy, redshirt senior from Oakland, as the Bears take on the Oregon Ducks. We'll be on the air with the Bud Light Tailgate Show beginning at 3:00 this Saturday. A lot of things going on. We've got basketball Thursday night against Arizona State. Basketball again on Sunday against UCLA. We'll be on the air for that game at 4:30 with the tip-off show. So stay involved with KGO and keep in touch with the Bears throughout the course of the weekend. So for Coach Wilcox and Marcel Dancy, I'm Todd McKim. Thank you very much for listening again this week. And as always, go Bears!
Go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.